the 16th chapter. Jesus says, "A little while, and you will see me no longer. And again, a little while, and you will see me." So some of his disciples said to one another, "What is this that he says to us? A little while, and you will not see me. And again, a little while, and you will see me. And because I'm going to the Father." So they were saying, "What does he mean by a little while? We do not know what he is talking about." Jesus knew that they wanted to ask him. So he said to them, "Is this what you are asking yourselves, what I meant by saying, 'A little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me'? Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn to joy. When a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. So also you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you." This is the gospel of our Lord. Our hymn of the day is 483. Hallelujah, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. So, it is still Easter season, all right? And the way that you know that is there are still Easter lilies at the pavilion, or at least there were last year, right? It's going to be Easter season until 50 days after Easter, when we celebrate Pentecost, which literally means 50 days after. All right. And so what that means is each and every day you can sing Easter hymns if they're still stuck in your head. Keep singing them. It means that when you see other Christians, you can still greet them. Hallelujah, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. As we grow in our Christian faith, each and every one of us, marking time with the events of Christ's life, marking the seasons, marking the months with the life of Christ, Advent, Lent, Epiphany, Easter, our lives, our days, our months begin to be filled with more meaning as we get in touch with the source of all meaning, Jesus Christ. Something that you may find strange, though, about today and our gospel reading, our theme, Jubilate, is that it doesn't take place after Jesus rises from the dead. No. It takes place during that big chunk of John 13 through 17, when it's all Jesus teaching his disciples for the last time after his last supper that he's given them. It's pure teaching from Jesus, pure Jesus sharing his heart with his disciples. And so why spend time during Easter season with Jesus before he's crucified, right before he's crucified? It seems like we're returning to Lent or something. And that's where I think things become very, very interesting. If you can remember throughout the Gospels, Jesus will teach or he'll do something that's confusing. And then the narrator will make some sort of note like this in John chapter 2. "The disciples didn't understand what Jesus meant, but when he had risen from the dead, his disciples remembered what he said, and they believed the scriptures. They believed the word that Jesus had said that day." And this is exactly why we not only read the Gospels, but we read them again and again throughout the year. They take on new meaning applied to you now. Returning to these pre-crucified Jesus texts from the Bible, what it does during the season of Easter, when everything is about the joy of Jesus risen from the dead, what that does is it shows us that now that Jesus is risen, all of his words and all of your life are given new meaning. So, when Jesus tells his disciples, a little while and you'll see me no longer, again, a little while and you will see me, it's confusing to them when they first hear it. But then it makes complete sense when Jesus has risen and he's speaking with them and he breaks bread and they recognize it is the Lord. Any disciple, after they had met the risen Jesus, could then say, oh, when Jesus talked about going away for a little while and then after a little while seeing him again, he was talking about his death on the cross for my sins. And the sorrow that we went through as he went through the ultimate sorrow. And then his resurrection. His resurrection has given new meaning to Jesus' words. Jesus died. He was buried in a tomb and I didn't see him. And then on Easter Sunday, he appeared to me, to Peter, to John, to James, and over 500 witnesses. I didn't see him. And then I saw him again. So what then about this sorrow he speaks of? Why does Jesus tell his disciples? Why does Jesus tell you, his disciples, that you will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn to joy? Well, in the Gospel of Luke and Matthew, Jesus says this. He says, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. It shows that Jesus' teaching is consistent. And he's teaching once more before it comes to pass for all eternity when he dies and rises again. Jesus says, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. Opposites. You see, when Jesus is crucified, the world rejoices. It's hard for us to understand or think about because we love Jesus. We have faith in him. But when Jesus was killed, the world rejoiced. The crowds who wanted catharsis, the Jewish leaders who condemned Jesus, the Romans who wanted to quell civil unrest, they rejoiced when Jesus was killed. Phew. No more headache. But his disciples, Jesus' mother, Jesus' friends, they wept. They went through the ringer. They went through sorrow. They lamented with the Psalms. Their rabbi master was dead. But like a woman giving birth who has sorrow for the suffering of labor that has now come, yet when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers her anguish for the joy of a human being who has been born into the world. In the same way, when Mary Magdalene, Peter, and John, when all the witnesses of the resurrection met Jesus risen from the dead, the temporary pain, the temporary sorrow, the lamenting, the betrayal of their teacher and their master, it was all forgotten for the everlasting joy of the resurrection has come and still is. Hallelujah, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Pain and suffering is temporary. But the joy of the resurrection lasts forever. And I propose that as the thesis, the summation of today. Pain and suffering is temporary. The joy of the resurrection is forever. And that's what Jesus is teaching his disciples today. It's what Easter is truly about. Pain is a feeling. And pain, like all feelings, are temporary. Here today, gone tomorrow. but the joy of Christ and his resurrection are eternal. Here today, here tomorrow. Jesus taught the very same thing at his transfiguration, right? Which we celebrated and right after Christmas. That glory and life everlasting are yours, but to receive it, the Christian must endure in faith, even through severe trial and suffering. Endure to the end, Jesus asks of us. No one wants to dive into the cold pool at 5 a.m. for swim practice. No one wants to do that. But you know, if you just dive into the pool and swim for 2 hours, you're going to become stronger, faster, and healthier by the end of practice. No one wants to eat healthier or go to bed early or say the Nicene Creed or read the Bible. But you know that if you just do it, you will be healthier. You will feel better. You will have a routine. You will be well rested. You will take to heart God's truths. You will share them with your family. You will be filled with the Holy Spirit and resurrection joy. These are all examples of what Jesus seems to be calling inevitable crosses. Jesus gives Christians to carry crosses. They may feel big, but they're training from God, so that you will be able to hold on and endure in faith to Christ Jesus and his death and his resurrection. These crosses, these trials in life, they are training for bigger crosses, which may be given to you. And those bigger crosses are chronic illness, sickness, the death of loved ones, all sorts of loss. You are being trained like David fighting lions and bears in the wilderness for bigger crosses that come your way. But what is the difference between a suffering Christian and a suffering non-Christian? The difference is faith. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. There's no getting around it. The difference is faith. When a non-Christian suffers, they think that they're being tortured, whether by a higher power or by circumstance. Or they may think that that suffering is meaningless, and that leads to despair. But the Christian has the joy of the resurrection. Because Jesus has risen, everything has new meaning, even suffering. The joy of the resurrection that is received by faith, that is what belongs to the Christian. The joy that Jesus is risen from the dead. And because he is risen, so will you. Because Jesus has risen, so will you rise. So will your loved ones who endured to the end in faith. The Christian does not complain while they suffer. They lament. They offer up to God with prayers and psalms of lament, and it is pleasing to the Lord. Sure, it may look or sound like complaining to the world, but the Lord hears it as beautiful prayer and worship. God hears these precious prayers. He comforts with the joy of the resurrection. And God does not comfort in a vague way, no. He comforts with the real comfort of his word. Sometimes in the form of your Bible that you read, sometimes in the form of preaching, sometimes attached to water in baptism as you remember it, sometimes attached to bread and wine, his body and his blood in this sacrament. The Christian knows there is an end to his or her suffering. The Christian knows their suffering will come to an end because Jesus promised, "You have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will be able to take your joy from you." Yes, Jesus says the only way is through the suffering. And he says this is precious in God's sight. Attempts to distract yourself, attempts to avoid suffering, only keeps from this joy. And this is, I believe, the hardest to hear of today's lessons, especially 1 Peter. But when you receive them in faith, they're enlightening. The more you try to avoid or distract yourself from the suffering, the cross that God has given you, the more you delay the joy. This means escaping into a favorite show or scrolling instead of getting in touch with Jesus in the Gospels. It even means avoiding end-of-life planning. And here is the hardest that I want to talk about. It also includes the use of extreme painkillers as you are nearing the end of your life. Why? I want to lift up the story, the testimony of George Hasselman. When George Hasselman was going to be with the Lord, he chose not to receive morphine or any sort of drug like that. And it may sound scary, and if you ask George, does it hurt? He would say, yeah. But what it enabled George to do was to have a solid month of everyone who he ever touched, everyone who loved him, everyone could come to see him at his house, and he could talk to them as long as he wanted. All of the pastors over the course of his life could come and see him, yours included. He could take a break from being in front of everyone and go into another room with me and confess what he had only confessed to God but still felt guilt for, and I could give him absolution. And when the time came, he was prepared. He wasn't afraid. And when he went to paradise that day, if he were to bring up any of those sins he'd confessed and been absolved of, Jesus would say, "What are you talking about, George? I don't know what you're talking about. Those are gone. They're forgiven." And he had the joy of that forgiveness this side of death. And so the reason I bring this up is that taking these drugs does avoid pain. But I also want to caution you, as you think about your own end of life, that taking those drugs will also avoid your chance for prayer, singing hymns with your family, critical conversations you'd like to have, pastoral care, reflecting on joy in life, the opportunity to confess and receive absolution. And so, we shift into Peter's words for today. He says, live as sojourners. It sounds a little bit too much like pirates for me, so I'm going to plug in foreigners. Live as foreigners in your world. He said, this world rejoiced when Jesus died. The world still rejoices that Jesus was killed. But you are foreigners. That's not your culture. You are foreigners in this world. You belong instead with Jesus Christ. That's who you belong to. That's where you live. And that's why he says, abstain from the passions of the flesh. These wage war in your soul. He says, Christians, you decide to live differently because you belong to Christ. And so this little while that Jesus talks about, this little while when you don't see Jesus, for most of us, it's that time between Sunday and Sunday. It's when Jesus is hidden from our eyes because we're out there in the world. The world, after all, is not going to show you Jesus. The world, the way that Jesus talks about the world wants to hide him. The world wants to tell you Jesus is dead, his disciples stole his body and it's gone missing, etc., etc. And this little while, when you don't see Jesus, is what Jesus calls suffering. And so, as I end, I exhort you to seek him out. If he's to be hidden from you, seek him out. Fill your mornings, fill your days, fill your evenings with hymnody that is stuck in your head, with scripture you're reminded of, with prayer. Become addicted to the time and place each day that you spend with Jesus, like George did. It was his chair by the window on the east side of the house that the sun came in. Talk about Jesus with the people that you see. Look forward to Sunday, because there he will see you again, just like he promised. But at this altar, from this pulpit, and your heart will rejoice. Because in the breaking of the bread, the supper where the disciples' eyes were finally opened to see Jesus was the one who was walking with them the whole time that they suffered. I pray that when you receive the supper today, your eyes will be opened. And you will receive. That you will forget the suffering of the past week for the joy of the resurrection that you receive into your ears and your mouths. No one, not even the world, can take this joy from you. You've already won the battle against the world by faith in Christ and by entering this building. So many people are in so many other places, but you're here where Jesus promises to be. Suffering is temporary, but the joy of the resurrection is everlasting. So receive that in faith. Amen.